Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Voices from the Grid. We're smack bang in the middle of, I don't know whether you want to call it season three or if you want to call it the Alien Rangers season, but we're smack dab in the middle of it. With me today is my co-host, the Blue Ranger, Brian Massey. Say hello, Brian.
Hey, everybody, what's going on?
And I am your host, the Black Ranger. My name is Ben, and I am a man of the people. And those people are 40-somethings that drink too much. So today we're going to be talking about two of the sort of middle episodes of the Alien Rangers saga, Climb Every Fountain and the Alien Trap. Before we get into it, are you enjoying the Alien Rangers saga, Brian?
I am. Now, I will say, and I'm not uncertain if I'm going to say this on episode one or not, or if I have or not, but I do think it's a little weird how out of order things are in the American season compared to Kaku Ranger.
Yeah.
Just in terms of the Ninja Megazord showing up and then the Shogun Megazord, whereas in Japan it was the Shogun Megazord and then, you know, whatever. That's conversation for another time. But as far as like the Alien Ranger season goes, I am genuinely enjoying it. I genuinely enjoy seeing like new suits that aren't Mighty Morphin for once.
Yeah.
I do. I'm a little bummed that they don't have the Doron Changer, which was their morpher, but because they just kind of, well, you know, whatever, we can talk about that later, but like,
yeah,
I'm genuinely enjoying this season. See, half season 3.5. That's what I call it 3.5.
So let's get into talking about Climb Every Fountain. A lovely play on the song Climb Every Mountain. So quick synopsis is quite literally, Billy is trying to make a device that will restore the Ranger kids to normal. The Alien Rangers reveal themselves to the world, basically. I'm very glad we got this episode because a couple of very monumental things happen in this episode. But we start with Billy, young Billy in the command center, working with the Accretion Rangers on a device, right? And then he's like, oh my God, I'll be late for school. To which I thought, only in Power Rangers would kids need to go to school in a global crisis such as this. Like the entire world has been rewound like 10 years. Like the last thing in your mind should be the kids going to school, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And also it's like, why does Billy need to go to school? You're basically an engineering genius at this point. Like, shouldn't you have already graduated? It feels like you should have already graduated by this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I've said like, that on several previous episodes that Billy should be in college by now.
Oh, absolutely. Without question. Like,
there's an absolutely brilliant moment because the kids are riding the school bus to school, right? And Bulk and Skull reveal they have a bunch of water balloons. And I think it's Aisha says, why don't you act your age? And Bulk's like, we're kids. Right? Like,
yeah. We're kids. What do you want? This is the kind of stuff we do. And this is, I looked at what they had those in, and I was like, that's probably not the most leak-proof way to carry your water balloons. But no. Hey, you know what? You being a kid, it looked like a military canvas bag, and I'm like, that's. I'm just imagining like folks. There's got to be a deleted scene where like folks like, why is my lap wet?
Yeah. Yeah. And Rito and Goldar are sent down by Zed to retrieve the device, which for some reason Billy put in his backpack rather than like leaving in the command center.
Because he's going to work on it after school.
We could just go. Yeah, wait, why didn't get it?
Why didn't he? Yeah, oh my God. I'm going to work on this after school. I'm going to take it with me when I'm the most vulnerable I've been this season so far.
Like, there's a lot of that in this episode, which we'll get to, of like them just not thinking about things. Rito and Goldar are full on comedy stooges now, like building up for all the stuff in the ZO and beyond. They're full on comedy stooges at this point with pratfalls and all kinds of nonsense going on. And then they try to take the thing for the Rangers, but the kids just start pelting them with stuff and they leave. What? And also, where did all those kids get all that stuff to throw at them?
Like, who brings popcorn onto a school bus?
Somebody really liked popcorn, I guess.
Also,
Rito apparently has like eye beams, which he's never used before or since.
Plot specific powers activate.
So they go to school, they have their school day, and as they're coming out of school, Billy's like, oh, I'm gonna go work on this thing, and Adam's say, hey, could you use some help? And then they walk off and they go to Billy's lab. And when they're done, right, they just start walking to meet the others. I say this so often when I feel like we're covering Power Rangers episodes. Power Rangers have the ability of sight-to-sight teleportation. Why are they walking?
It can't be because, oh, it's a really nice day in California. Like, have you been to California in the summer? No, that is not a good excuse. Teleport. For God's sakes, just teleport. Like,
just teleport. Like, you can't get followed if you're teleporting.
Like, I could teleport and make sure that the thing that I'm trying to protect is safe and secure. But not only do I want that to be captured by the people that are constantly chasing me and can view on me from the moon with a telescope, but then also I want to catch a little bit of skin cancer while I'm at it too. Why not? Let's just do that. This sounds like a fantastic plan. Like, God.
And speaking of being followed, Rito and Goldar do follow Billy and Adam. In a really, yes, what I think is a really well-filmed scene of just being able to see their feet and like the moon, yeah, and like it panning across, like seeing them under cars and stuff like that. Well, that was a very nice little scene.
I love how Rito's like, will you be quiet? Yeah. But he says it like, will you be quiet? And I'm way to be conspicuous there, bud.
And then we find out that the Equation Rangers are drying out.
Oh, no.
Because they're sponges, apparently.
They're becoming alien jerky.
Yeah. And then Billy and Adam meet up with the other Rangers to try and turn themselves back.
Can I comment on the device real fast?
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
In a processing plant. Not the command center, you know, where no one can get in but Power Rangers. But in a processing center where they're completely vulnerable.
Logic. This episode has none.
So talk to me about
For the most part.
Talk to me about the device.
So obviously this device has to match up with the Japanese footage for the monster suit that they use. And so this monster, I didn't even catch a name for this monster. I was listening for it. I really didn't catch one.
Me either.
But he's this very Japanese looking, you know, like smiling golden robot monster, and when he's a monster. So in order to make that translate and like have it be like, oh, well, he obviously transformed from this thing. They've got this like clock looking thing that looks like it belongs out of the movie Metropolis from like the 1920s.
Yeah.
Which was a cool touch, but like it was like, and like on his head, like, you know, you can see like the skyline of Manhattan and all this other stuff. And I was just like, oh, okay. Like that item is obviously meant for not me, but it works for the footage, but we don't even get a name for this damn thing. But it just, it looks cool, but also a little, why? I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts about this thing though. Like not so much the look of it, but like the nature of it as well.
Yeah. So it involves using the power coins to turn them back. And Billy makes this comment that says, on its lowest setting, it should turn us back. What would it do on its highest setting, Billy?
Would it turn you old? Would it turn you into a spooky, scary skeleton?
And if that is the case, why did you make a higher setting? Like,
what? I fear that he gets the thought in his head. Let's try the highest setting on something that, you know, like
just to see what happens.
Just to see what, you know, for science. Like, no. At that point, Billy must be stopped. He's become too powerful.
Yeah. So we have our first major thing that happens this episode, where the Equation Rangers teleport into the middle of Angel Grove to rehydrate in a fountain. And all of Angel Grove is exposed to the fact that alien life exists. And correct me if I'm wrong, I'm fairly sure that at no point after everyone turns back in the Alien Ranger saga do they mention that everyone's forgotten what happened. So they know aliens are real.
Which I guess not to reference.
I might be wrong about that. There might be like a thing where they're like, oh, everyone's forgotten what happened.
I don't have the answer for that, but what I can say is like that is very early foreshadowing for SPD.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Because all of a sudden it's like, hey, we saw these aliens in a fountain, and all of a sudden, like all these years later, we have a, you know, we have a society full of them now. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Like that did not take long at all.
Fantastic. Okay, so then we have probably the biggest thing to happen this episode, where when trying to rejuvenate themselves, Rita and Zed show up to stop the Rangers and ultimately end up destroying the power coins, which means they win. They beat the Power Rangers.
Yeah. They've accomplished their goal that they've been trying to accomplish for the last 3 years. They did it.
Yeah.
They absolutely just they did it, because now it's like, now what are you gonna do? And like obviously short, we know what,
short of the Machine Empire showing up in Zeo, they would take over the Earth at this point.
Eventually. Absolutely. Why they didn't just do that at that point, because I mean the Mighty Morphin Rangers are children, aside from, you know, Billy, and the Alien Rangers are incapacitated in a fountain because they're trying not to, you know, dry out. Who's there to, like, I could imagine that. Now I haven't seen, I don't know what the status of Ninjor is yet. Because I haven't watched that episode, so maybe Ninjor could show up. I don't know. Maybe he's been incapacitated. I'm uncertain. I do know he shows up later on. I want to say in space, but
yeah,
that's really the only person I can think of that would be able to be like, it seems Rita and Zed are here. Maybe I, you know, like something like that. But yeah, I agree with you at this point. Game over, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Like and I don't think enough people realize that, right? That Rita and Zed, ultimately, they do defeat the Rangers. But yeah, I wanted to, because it's such a huge thing that not a lot of people comment about.
Yeah.
All right. And then Billy gets turned back into his adult, quote unquote, adult self, his high school self. And I know that this is just me talking, but the writers had to know where they were going with Zeo at this point, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's quite clear that with Billy being the one that is turned back, this is kind of David Yost's kind of final hurrah as a Ranger. Like, this is kind of his spotlight arc before he drops his powers in Zeo.
Which we can reference this episode when we get to that in Zeo, but yeah, this is the point in which, yeah, you can absolutely tell, like, what happens in Zeo. Yeah, I agree with you. It's like, at this point, they knew what was going to happen. I did have this is kind of an aside,
yeah,
but I did have a note in here about the conversation that Adam and Billy have as kids when they're walking.
Yeah.
Because I just don't know any natural way to put this in the conversation now, so I just got to bring this up.
Yeah.
Billy's talking to Adam, and he says, "I cannot wait to get on the computer and surf the net when things go back to normal,"
yeah,
which has not aged well since 2020.
Not at all, no.
I was like, believe me, I've been there, done that. You're going to want to do anything but surf the net.
So there's a whole thing, like Billy and the other Rangers get to the command center and they're like, oh, the power coins have been destroyed, but Zed is attacking. What do we do? So Billy teleports into the park in the view of a bunch of people, runs up and starts talking to these aliens like he knows them. Right,
that's not suspicious.
Those aliens then morph in front of a bunch of people and are clearly like the Power Rangers. So it's quite like everybody now knows that Billy not only has contact with the Rangers but with an alien species, but no one seems to bug him about it.
They're just like, yeah, this is fine, this is absolutely fine. I believe it's at this point in the episode that we do get the monster's name, but it's also like Billy literally goes up to the alien rangers and he's like, hey guys, you have to help. There's a monster coming. And then like the monster's like
here. Trailing.
The monster's here. And like, he doesn't change his delivery on that at all. I'm like, okay, then we really need the whole the monster's coming to whatever.
So according to Ranger Wiki, the monster's name is Slotsky,
which I think is mentioned once,
maybe.
I don't know.
And then
because he looks like a slot machine, I guess.
Yeah,
try place your bets.
And as you mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we were just talking about the Alien Rangers as Saga as general. Once the Alien Rangers morph, it's a very interesting difference in fighting styles to Mighty Morphin. They use different moves. Like there's one point where like the Red Ranger like puts a Tenga in a knee bar. Like, and then like the Yellow Ranger gives another Tenga a giant swing.
Yeah.
And I was where's Vince McMahon?
I had the same thought because I was like, this is very much a wrestling match,
yeah,
in parts.
So one of the things that I've been trying to do this season is talk about how long Zord stuff takes, right? Because a lot of the people I spoke to when said they got enamored with Power Rangers as a kid, was they were enamored with the Zords and all that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
So the Equation Rangers summoned their Zords, the Battle Borgs, at 17 minutes and 25 seconds into the episode, right? And the fight ends at 18 minutes and 10 seconds. So there's less than a minute of Zord footage,
right,
in this episode. And
so I'm finding
that a lot with the episodes in season three, at least, that there's the Zord time is actually fairly low,
which is, I'm not gonna lie, I do have some complaints about that, because you would usually get like I don't know. It's funny because to me, and I'm going to reference something here that maybe not a lot of people watch but are familiar with. It almost feels like the Zords operate on Ultraman rules, where like, oh, we can only really do 3 minutes of, you know, fighting in the Zord.
Yeah.
Because there's a rule in Ultraman where it's like, you can only fight for 3 minutes, which is dumb. So they only have so much footage that they can shoot in those suits, I guess, but it is kind of a bummer. I love the battle.
I think for me more, it's like people are always like, oh, the Zord stuff is what stuck out to me.
And yeah.
Frequently I'm finding that the Zord footage is less than like a minute and a half of every episode.
Yeah.
Which is just interesting to me.
Yeah. I tried so hard, by the way, in these episodes, I'm going to try my hardest not to call them the Beetleborgs.
Yeah, yeah.
my mouth just naturally wants to say Beetleborgs more than Battleborgs.
I have a note here that for not being the leader of the Equation Rangers, the Red Ranger certainly gets the spotlight a lot.
Yeah.
Is the Red Ranger the leader in the Sentai?
He's the figurehead in the Sentai, but the leader in Kaku Ranger is the White Ranger, whose name I believe is Surahime. So she's the leader, but like, because the way that, you know, they do the lineups, like whenever the team's there, Red's in the front and center, which is honestly kind of messed up.
Yeah.
Because... but whatever.
And then my final note is just to say that this is actually the only time the Battle Borgs kill something without morphing into something bigger.
Yeah. And at that point, let's see here. There's and then there's a medal ceremony at the end.
Yeah, yeah, because they're going to get
instead of
medals and not like put them in not blame them for what's going on Earth right now, and B, put them in a detention center and do tests on them.
Right. They're not gonna pull an Alf.
God, I love Alf.
So this episode ends on a downer because Billy's just like, yay, hey, look, you know, the Alien Rangers are getting their due. But then Billy's just like, guys, things are going to get worse before they get better. Credits.
Yeah. It's quite a nice little moment, actually, for David Yost. It's just a nice little acting moment.
Yeah.
And then we move on to the second episode that we are reviewing this episode. That was a use of the word episode a lot. The Alien Trap, which didn't nearly have enough parent trap in it for me. I'm gonna be very honest with you. I don't have a whole lot of notes about the Alien Trap because as an episode, it's just kind of good. Right?
Its
internal logic makes sense mostly. So my first note is, why are the alien? Because the episode, the conceit of the episode is that Billy is having to make a device to turn a lake into Aquitian water so that the Aquitar Rangers can rehydrate, right? That's basically the, and yeah, that's basically the conceit of the episode. But my brain just went, why do they need to do that when they can just go to the fountain from the last episode, which seemed to work just fine?
I think there's a throwaway line in that last episode where they're like, this will sustain us, but in order for us to be at full power or something, we need, like, we need the water that we're used to, or else, you know, there's something about that, I really think. So if I remember correctly, yes, don't quote me on that, but I remember there being something about, like, hey,
I'm gonna quote you.
Yeah, but here's my thought, because obviously this is a body of water and it could lead to a stream. At what point is this water, like, gonna mess with anything that's actually, like, living in there? And yes, like,
I've got a note about that as well.
Like, all right, I didn't mean to jump the gun on that, but
no, that's literally my next note. So,
okay, cool.
the idea is they're removing, like, impurities and stuff from the water, right?
Right.
So at what point does that start killing the fish?
Yeah, right. And it's like all kinds of other stuff that lives in there, you know.
Especially considering later in the episode, like, delphines are like, we can't let them hurt aquatic sea life, and like blast bulk and skull. And I'm like, what do you think you're doing by changing the makeup of the water?
Yeah. I mean, fish die if they go from fresh water to salt water, and you're literally changing the pH balance of, like, what? Okay.
So the opening of the episode, like, Billy's got this prototype set up in the park that's beaming a beam into space, even though the actual device that he makes later has nothing to do with that prototype.
No.
And young Tommy and young Kat are there trying to act. Oh my God. God bless their hearts, they're trying to act.
They're trying so hard
and got so far, but in the end it didn't really matter because it was bad. And then they're interrupted by this old woman who's heard them expositing about what this device is and what it does, right? And she's sitting on a bench nearby. Now, bear in mind, the whole world has been turned back 10 years. This woman's still, like, 90.
And my question is, like, they're in the middle of a park where there's, like, nobody else. And she's not only sitting on the one bench that, like, is around, she's got groceries.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what has your day been like? I'm fascinated.
And she's all like, oh, I'm going to be like, no. She walks over and she's like, you kids aren't allowed to play with things and technology and stuff.
Where's your parents?
If I was the kids, I'd be like, woman, you don't even know how to use a calculator. Do you want this abacus?
Ah, Lord.
And then Billy comes back and pretends that Kat and Tommy are his younger brother and sister, in a quite a clever move to get them to go away. And then he's like, yeah, you'll have your allowance, dog. Dog's like, I don't get an allowance. And it's like, Billy's like, I'm just trying to make you believable, dude. It's just a nice little exchange. I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah. There was one thing I will say
for the Alien Rangers saga is there's lots of nice little exchanges written and sort of the way they're performed and all that sort of stuff. And this was one of those.
Right.
Now, elsewhere, we cut to elsewhere on the planet, or elsewhere in Angel Grove, and the other four Rangers are with the Aquitians, basically ram raiding an ice cream truck.
Yeah. Which, by the way, just saying this, having been watching the current season of Super Sentai, like, that's not out of place at all. Like, that's very much like, yeah, okay, no, this humor matches up. Someone probably saw something that they did in, like, a Japanese episode. I was like, we're going to mimic that because it was very much the same kind of pace. And
there's this really funny moment where, like, one of the Equestrian Rangers, like Delphine finishes eating her lollipop. And one of the Equestrian Rangers stops eating his lollipop to talk to the Rangers. And Delphine just reaches in and takes it and starts eating it. She's just like, nope, mine now. Yoink! Not like she takes the stick. She pulls the lollipop off the stick. So the dude's still holding the stick in his hand.
Oh my God.
And part of me is like, lollipops are part water, right? Are the Equestrians getting any hydration from these?
Hey, you like water? You like cherry?
How about flavored sugar water?
Yeah. Now you can be hydrated and wired.
Go bathe in sorbet.
We got some orange sherbet over here. It's a giant tub if you need to go rehydrate that way.
Yeah.
Come on, have a dip in the sherbet. It'll be good for you.
Oh, in sherbet.
Yes.
I will say that I say this a lot. Rito is by far my favorite thing on the villain side in all of Mighty Morphin. I love Rito. I think he's really funny. He was a much needed addition to Rita and Zed's court. And every time he purposely calls Zed Ed, I find it hilarious. And I don't know why. It should not be that funny. I'm a 40-plus year old man. That should not be funny. But it is to me.
It's hilarious. And some people would complain about the whole, like, they had to tone down Lord Zed in season two because he was too scary.
Scary for
which I am very, I'm very curious as, because I know you watched Doctor Who as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a whole thing that I've heard from British fans where, like, there's a whole statement about, like, hiding behind the sofa.
Oh yes.
Which, like, my sofa was
scared the bejesus out of me as a kid, and I loved every second of it.
Right. Which is a statement that never really rang right with me because my sofa was always up to the wall, but whatever. Not important. But when you look at Lord Zed in season two and, like, how scary he was, and like, how would you compare that to, like, the monsters that you saw in Doctor Who as a kid, and like, I don't know, like, and I'm just asking genuinely because I'm curious. Like,
oh, he was, would you think nowhere near as scary as them?
Yeah,
nowhere near.
That's, yeah, no. I kind of agree because I'm like, I thought he was cool, and, like, then they tried to dumb him down a little bit and marry him off to Rita. We've been through
them getting married was the best thing for both of them. Let's be honest.
I agree. I think the whole, like, him having a brother-in-law dynamic in season three is fantastic. Yes. And the fact that he's a giant idiot.
And you meet the father-in-law.
Yes, Master Vile.
Yeah.
Who's long since, yeah, he's not here anymore. But he's Master Vile's not.
He left right before Climb Every Fountain, in fact.
Yeah, I think he left in episode two of Alien Rangers.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, I love the fact that Rito's a complete moron. There's a moment in an earlier episode where Rita is like, "Hey, numbskull," and he answers to it. He's like, "Yeah, what do you want?"
Yes.
And it just makes, that's comedy gold. And I love Rio. He's so good.
You can't be hurt by insults if you just lean into them and it's like, yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
They can't hurt you if you don't let them.
So then we are introduced to this episode's monsters, the Barbaric Brothers, who are a pair of surfer dudes whose voices sound exactly the same. If you ask me.
And by that, apparently someone did a really good Michelangelo impersonation.
Yeah.
Whoa, dude.
Whoa, dude. So the episode, so I just want to point this out, that one, the Barbaric brothers are called Eric and Merrick. And part of me goes, hang on a minute. I've heard that name before. And of course, Merrick is the sixth ranger in Wild Force.
Oh, yeah.
That can't be a coincidence, can it? The name Merrick? Yeah, so they, they like pollute the... So Billy's put the device that he's built in the lake, right? So the Inquisitions are in the lake and they're hydrating. And Zed comes up with this plan, which is actually quite clever, that Billy's device is designed to take out Earth pollutants. But if he introduces a pollutant that Billy's device isn't designed to get rid of, he can poison the Inquisitions. That's quite a clever idea. Go ahead.
Oh, no.
Okay, so the Barbaric brothers pull this stuff in the lake, and then they erect a force field around the Inquisition Rangers so they can't get away.
Right.
I mean, part of me is like, well, they just don't have to go into the hydration cycle. They can just stand there, clearly. Because they do it. They do it.
Yeah. I do wonder if once they're in the hydration cycle, they can't get out of it. Maybe that would explain how that happened. I don't know.
But they do get out of it once the force field comes down. They just leave.
Yeah. Is it just me, by the way? Sorry to interrupt. But was the pollutant just Ivan's ooze?
It was purple gross stuff. Yeah.
Yeah,
it wasn't quite oozy. It was very watery, but and yeah. Like they made this big deal. Like, oh no, they erected a force field around the Inquisition Rangers, so they can't get away. And like less than 2 minutes later, the force field's already gone.
Yeah,
and it's like, what's the point? Like this is supposed to be this big threat. Also, I'd like to point out this is an episode after Earth has discovered aliens exist. And no one's bugging them. No one's trying to get pictures with them. No one's like, so what's it like on your planet? Like,
they're not on Barbara Walters, being asked. It's like, so what's it like being on Aquitaine? And it's like, they even make a mention of that in the last episode. It's like, well, we're going to have to hire some bodyguards or something because people are going to be around them all the time now.
Yeah. And then they're not.
They're not.
So as soon as the alien rangers get off the water, it's like they were never poisoned in the first place. So they morph to fight the monsters, and the monsters get be made big. And we have one of the longest Zord fights that I can remember. The Zord summoned at 14 minutes and 24 seconds into the episode. The Megazord is not formed until 17 minutes and 10 seconds into the episode. Which it goes straight into its like flame sword finishing move.
Yeah.
Ends the fight at 17 minutes and 29 seconds. So we have a lot of non-Megazord fighting from the Battleborgs here, honestly, the Battleborgs make for some really interesting Zord fights because they're actually fairly mobile, right? So they can do some stuff that other Zords can't. And we'll see this echoed in Zeo next season when Billy tries to make a version of like the fact that, you know, how like the alien rangers control it with like telepathy and like the Zords copy their moves on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, Billy tries to do something similar to that in Zeo, if I remember rightly.
I think it's the Red Battle Zord.
Yeah. But I just think the Battle Borgs make for really interesting Zord fights.
They're probably, I would agree. And I think that they're one of the more interesting things, one of the more interesting Zords, mind you, in all of Mighty Morphin and also in Calcar Ranger. Like, they're all the footage I see of them is just, it's beautiful. It's, they're really, really well done.
Yeah.
And I do love I don't think that that's necessarily how they worked in Calcar Ranger, but I do love the whole, again, the telepathic link where like they can control them on the ground. Like that's just genius.
Yeah.
So if something goes down.
Yeah. After they take care of the Barbaric Brothers, it is revealed that the Alien Rangers have to go home. Dum dum dum. Because they need to go home and hydrate on in accretion water. And yeah.
I believe the reason given by Billy is
that his device because is too gummed up and it would take far too long to make a new one. I believe
yeah.
The excuse given. But yeah, the Alien Rangers at the end of the fourth episode of the 10 episode Alien Rangers saga leave Earth, which the first time I was watching this through, I wasn't expecting, to be honest.
And I have not watched past episode 4 yet, mm-hmm. so and I don't remember the events of the final 6 episodes, so it's genuinely a mystery to me what happens next.
Yeah. So that was the alien trap. And climb every fountain. As I said, we're slap bang in the middle of about 4 different things, like slap bang in the middle of the Alien Saga, or slap bang in the middle of the transition to Zeo, slap bang in the middle of the end of season 3. So, Brian, where can people find you on the internet?
Yes, you can find me online at castwavestudios.com. Be sure to check out all of our shows on there. Boldly Going Nowhere and One Drunk Geek. Also, be sure to follow me on Twitter at One Drunk Geek. You can also follow me on Instagram at Draken22. That's DrakenKKEN22. Go ahead and send a message and, you know, check out some of the stuff I've done. Ben, where can we find you on the web?
You find me on the Twitters at Bob T. Goldfish. You can find me doing video game stuff over twitch.tv/321_TV, which I do stuff there with my good friend Jordan Johnson, aka the narrator from our scripted intros, and my wife. We play video games. You can find this show on Twitter at VFTG_PR. And if you go to thxthockey.com/VFTG, you can find links to all of the ancillary things we do, like Musings from the Grid and my Power Rangers columns, which I'll eventually get back to when I can decide what I want to say about Dino Thunder. And various and other sundry things there. So, without further ado, I will say to you, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, in the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, non-gender-specific honorifics.
And as always, until our next more phenomenal episode, be sure to grab your power coins and your power morphers. And may the power protect you.
Peace.